morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to hear from Joe Rutten and Brian Cooper from the Catholic Men's Business Fraternity talking about the Faith and Business Conference coming up in August. Another great conference coming up, so I hope you'll stick around to hear about it and some of the reasons why they put this conference on. I think you'll find it an interesting conversation. Renee Krantz will have news for us just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Don Wolfe with the first and second reading. Father Darren Schmidt with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of Proverbs. Thus says the wisdom of God. The Lord possessed me, the beginning of his ways, the forerunner of his prodigies of long ago. From of old I was poured forth, at the first, before the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains or springs of water. Before the mountains were settled into place. Before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet the earth and fields were not made, nor the first clods of the world. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the vault over the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he fixed fast the foundations of the earth, when he set for the sea its limit, so that the waters should not transgress his command, then was I beside him as his craftsman, and I was his delight day by day, playing before him all the while, playing on the surface of his earth, and I found delight in the human race. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that the affliction produces endurance, and endurance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Krantz.
A nationwide third-party system for receiving confidential reports of certain complaints against bishops took a step closer to being implemented during the Spring General Assembly of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. In a series of three votes, the bishops voted overwhelmingly to authorize the implementation of a system that would allow people to make reports through a toll-free telephone number as well as online. The system, which would be operated by an outside vendor contracted by the USCCB, would be in place no later than May 31, 2020, under the proposal accepted by the bishops. The chairman of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee for Catholic Education says he welcomes the release of the document, "Male and Female He Created Them," towards a path of dialogue on the question of gender theory in education by the Holy See's Congregation for Catholic Education. The document recognized a distinction between the ideology of gender, which it said tries to present its theories as absolute and unquestionable, and the whole field of scientific research on gender, which attempts to understand the ways sexual difference is lived out in different cultures. Bishop Michael Barber of the Diocese of Oakland notes that in a difficult and complex issue, clarity of church teaching rooted in the equal dignity of men and women as created by God provides the light of truth and compassion that is most needed in our world today. The document outlines both theological and scientific truths about the human person and will serve as a solid framework for those engaged in the ministry of Catholic education. The chairman of the U.S. Bishops Pro-Life Committee, Archbishop Joseph F. Nauman of Kansas City, praised a June 10th decision by the American Medical Association to reaffirm its longstanding policy against physician-assisted suicide. MedPage Today, an online news outlet that covers healthcare, said the vote came during the AMA's annual meeting in Chicago. At last year's meeting, after impassioned testimony from both sides, the AMA's Council on Ethical and Judicial Affairs was asked to further examine the issue of physician-assisted suicide. It presented its findings at the Chicago meeting and recommended the AMA retain its current opposition to the practice. Pope Francis advanced the sainthood cause of Father Augustus Tolton, the first African-American diocesan priest in the United States and founder of the first Black Catholic parish in Chicago. Signing decrees issued by the Congregation of Saints' Causes June 11th, Pope Francis also formally recognized the martyrdom of three Catholic laywomen who were nurses for the Red Cross and were killed during the 1936 to 1939 Spanish Civil War. The decree for Father Tolton's cause recognizes that he lived a life of heroic virtue. The Diocese of Hong Kong has made a rare foray into politics, issuing a statement urging the city's government to not rush to amend the city's controversial extradition treaty. The June 11th statement came amid continuing street protests, which on June 12th were broken up by police using tear gas, pepper spray, and rubber bullets. Afterward, the diocese issued a second statement noting the dispute over the legislation has now come to a violence and bloodshed stage. Therefore, once more, we make an urgent appeal that the SAR government and the general public exercise restraint and seek a solution to the current dilemma through peaceful, rational channels. The extradition legislation, officially called the Fugitive Offenders Mutual Legal Assistance in Criminal Matters legislation, would see mainland China have extradition rights for the first time over any city resident. With this week's news, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Great, Renee. Thanks so much for that. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Joe Rutten and Brian Cooper, both part of the Catholic Men's Business Fraternity, and we're going to talk about the conference coming up. We're going to talk about a lot of things about the work of this organization, but particularly we want to talk about the conference coming up this summer. Joe, this has become kind of a big deal, I think, hasn't it?
Well, I know you think depends so. Yeah. Lots of things in my mind are a big deal, but not to other people. No, it is. It really. I think the concept is what's important. You know, that this idea of creating a platform where business folks and professionals and community can have a dialogue about the role, the relationship between faith and business is important. Yeah. And that conversation oftentimes happens academically, but there hasn't been a lot of vehicles created to have the conversation actually engaging the professionals in the dialogue. And so, you know, nationally, it probably happens a little bit, but we've been around the block for, 5 years now? I think 5 years have been at this. And we still don't see a lot of it happening with practitioners.
Right.
The academics continue to do it. But so, yeah, when the speakers come in, they all look around like, wow, this is impressive. And I don't know if it's because they're surprised that it's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or if it's because of the concept that you've brought a business community together that's 200-300 people to talk about this very important topic.
So, and that's where I wanted to go. Brian, maybe what Joe says is we don't see a lot of the practical application yet, and yet people keep coming, which suggests there's a kind of a hunger for this.
There may be something there, and that's why I got into the organization when Joe first pitched me on this idea 5 years ago. I'm the practitioner. I'm not an academic. I'll be the first one to admit that. And so what really interested me about it was how do you actually take these things, these faith principles, and use them at work? Because I think in today's society, people are hungry for, how do I take, our tagline is Sunday into Monday. Mm-hmm. How do I take what happens in church on Sunday with me through Monday, Tuesday, throughout the week? And so for me, it was one of those things where it made a lot of sense, but taking that academic knowledge and actually turning it into something I can take with me and put in my little toolkit to work with me is really, really important. And I think that's why people continue to show up and continue to be interested, is because this is the first organization that I've heard of or seen that helps people take those really high concepts and, I don't want to say dumb them down, but make them relatable so that they can put them into practice every day.
Well, and I think there's something to what you're saying, guys, that, that it's this is probably something that kind of, you know, niggles at us a little bit in our brain, right? We don't maybe most business people are thinking about their business. They're thinking about what they need to succeed in terms of the, you know, the dollars and cents and the inputs and the outputs and all of that. And yet at the back of our heads, we know there's something more. And that's what you're trying to get to.
Right. And I think what oftentimes happens is I like to equate it as my two brothers, the priests, and the two brothers, the cowboys. Sometimes there's an inability or a challenge of communicating to the cowboys in a manner that they're receptive to, that makes sense to them, the language, the tangibility. And so when we have this kind of a dialogue, it's important that we stop and listen to the business practitioners and say, all right, what is it that you need? What's going on in your heart and your minds? And what are the challenges that you have in your office? Oh, you're talking about workplace retention, right? Oh, well, let's talk about the dignity of your employees. Do you have a culture that values and respects your employees? Mm-hmm. Well, dignity of the human person is the anchor principle of Catholic mm-hmm. social teaching upon which everything else rests. But as people of faith, I think we are creating a vehicle to try and help do a better job of translating that principle into business to say, all right, what does dignity look like in your office and how you handle even maybe just wages mm-hmm. or, you know, but practically speaking, it's just an integration project.
Yeah, because everybody, like you said, Jerry, has these thoughts in their head. They just don't understand what they're rooted in.
Yeah, or how they connect yep. to real business. Right.
And right. so what the Faith and Business Conference aims to do is take these things that you have in your head and give them language
right.
and give you an understanding of you are thinking the right things, faith-based, but you just don't know that that's what it is.
Yeah.
And now we're going to give you a lens, as Joe says, to look through to say, oh, this is how I'm living out, and this is an important term for everybody listening, business as a vocation. Because people don't look at business and say, this is a vocation. I'm taking care of customers. I'm taking care of employees. And all of this is based on faith teachings.
So I just got back. I have a full-time job. I teach at Mount Marty in Yankton. And we had all the 12 Benedictine colleges and universities in the United States leadership come together in Yankton the past 4 days.
Oh, cool.
And the president of St. Martin's out in Washington was given a presentation, and he kept talking about saying that we need to see what we're doing as a vocation.
Hey, look at that.
I'm like, hey. Yeah.
He's been listening to me.
And there's some great work in town. I think Sioux Falls Seminary has a strong model of that's career to calling, right? That do you feel called to what you do, right? You know, you work in communications, but this is a calling.
Yeah.
And if it's not a calling, you're going to lack meaning and purpose in what you do. You're going to give less investment. You're going to find work a tougher place to be. You're not going to want to. Well, this is why we have 60% of our workforce disengaged.
Yeah.
Because they don't see what they're doing as something they're called to or a place that they find meaning and value. So we have these meaning and value, we have this practical application, but at the heart of it, we want men and women in business, Catholic and Christian, to understand that business can be better and it can be a force for good in communities.
We're talking about the conference coming up this summer. We haven't given the date and the information about it. We probably should
see,
do
look
that.
At you making a great segue yeah, into should, the actual we
should,
information.
We should probably do that, so I'll let you do that, Brian.
Well, the Faith and Business Conference, like Joe said, we've done this for 5 years. This year is going to be another great conference. It's going to be Thursday, August 8th at the Ramcota Hotel in Sioux Falls, and it's going to be from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We strategically do this as a half-day event mm-hmm. because we want business people there. And you know, business people are, use the word busy, and so we want to make sure that this fits into a schedule on a Thursday afternoon. They can pop out at lunch, come out, get some great information, be done by 4, get back to their email, and whatever they have to do that evening. And this year's speakers are great. We'll talk about those in a little bit. But if you want any more information or to get tickets, become a partner, any of that information, faithinbusinessconference.com is where you need to go to get all the other information.
That should be hard to remember, Brian.
Well, you know, once in a while we do smart things in
faithinbusinessconference.com.
Yep. So there's only one. There's only one email or one URL, and we got it.
Name's
so.
Right in the title.
Yeah.
That's great.
Right.
We will talk in a little more detail about the event and some of the speakers because I know you have great speakers again this year. But before we do that, Joe, I wanted to ask about You know, you're doing this in a sense in a world where people don't even know about faith anymore in a lot of right. situations. How do we help people make that connection back in a way that they understand this is really going to be good for them and right. helpful to their business?
Right.
If they don't know faith.
Yeah, and it's a constant challenge. I think that it goes to the heart of our common humanity, that at the heart of this whole thing, Jerry, is we're humans, right? What yeah. is it? So there's a principle of leadership. Warren Bennis, who's like one of the great gurus of management principles and leadership, he said, leadership is about being human. And I think sometimes we forget, this is all very basic. This is very simple stuff. This is not, you can turn this into academic jargon.
Sure.
And that's what we do, right? Us teachers and you know, academics, we get real fancy with us. At the heart of it, it's very common. It's about respect for people. It's about being in community and relationship with one another. No man is an island. No woman is an island. We can't do this by ourselves. We all have rights and responsibilities at home and in the office. We have responsibilities in community. These concepts and principles are very simple. And so all we're doing is saying that at the heart of what it means to be a human person and to work in community with other people, there's these basic little principles we want to think about to help us do that well. Mm-hmm. Dignity. Let's treat people with respect. Community. Let's talk about having a place where when somebody comes and they're struggling and they're down and out, boy, there's people around them that reach out and give them support. You know, this isn't, business is not just about making or creating wealth. It's about ennobling people and making communities better.
Mm-hmm. And I always liken it too, when you talk about humanizing it to everyone, what did Jesus do? He went and found 12 guys and lived with them.
Right.
And didn't teach them in the way that, you know, you go to a classroom, he lived with them and they learned that way. And that's what we want our concept to be like, is if we can teach business leaders to do this, they're going to be force multipliers and go back to their business and not have to say, this is what this is and that's what this is, but people see the way they do their way they work in their business and the way they treat others, and they just learn like, oh, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And they might not know any of these concepts, but they learn by living with somebody in that organization.
And we live in a world right now, guys, and you know this better than I do, where you know, you're not supposed to talk about religion.
Right.
You're not even supposed to.
Well, and that's changing a little bit, Jerry. It's interesting. I found a slow movement to workplaces valuing culture. They now know that they're struggling for retention. Mm. The young workforce is really lacks stability, rootedness, for better or for worse.
Yep.
They get a job and they move pretty quickly. They buy a house and they get their second house before, you know, my parents never in their mind would have dreamed of buying their second house 10 years after they bought their first. You did 25 years in your first house, and then you might be lucky if you bought your second house.
I'm 27 myself.
Right, but, you know. right. But that idea says, boy, young people today are very, yeah. very mobile. All right. So as that's happened, I think it's forced companies to stop and say, all right, we need to think about creating a culture where people don't want to leave. And so we've said, all right, well, what does that mean? Well, then what do you value? Well, we value being able to have more input in how work is done in the office. And we value it and being able to contribute to the community. We'd like to have a business that has more social consideration and impact out there on the... So you see this work. Well, where does all of this thing incubate? Oftentimes, it comes out of people's interior life. And so there's a place for spirituality again.
I love this because as you talk, I keep thinking about, you know, the Catholic social teaching and how perfectly this lines mm-hmm. up with all of this, whether people know it or not.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well, and the other thing then, the reason we think this is working is because last year we had 42 businesses that partnered with us to put on this conference. And so we're seeing this slow growth of businesses that are saying, oh, this is a thing. Or we'll have a business show up and next year bring another business with them. Because they're like, hey, you need to come to this and like get some of this stuff that's going on, because I'm finding it helpful for me in what I do running an organization.
Let's talk a little bit about who you're going to have at this year's conference. Again, it's August 8th at the Ramkota, and you can sign up for it or learn more about it at faithandbusinessconference.com. Who you got coming in this year, Joe?
Well, we've got kind of a theme. This year, we instead of having a transitory theme that changes every year, we've really just said, you know, Sunday into Monday is at the heart of what we're doing. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the tagline, and it will be moving forward. And underneath that umbrella, what we're really trying to do is help the business practitioner have first a vision for this, what it takes, the skills of being a good practitioner. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? What does it mean to be a person that's formed in a way that does business well? And so Catherine Pokolik, who's a professor of economics at Catholic University in DC, she's going to come and she's going to give a talk that actually uses a documentary called Free Solo. It's about this young man that climbs El Capitan mm-hmm. in Yosemite mm-hmm. without ropes.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing in the world. If you haven't seen Free Solo, go watch Free Solo.
Yeah.
She uses that and she says, you know, there's something interesting. As business practitioners, are we skilled like this young man is in a manner that allows us to freely move in a way that does business with excellence? So that's the vision piece, right? And then Tom Morgan's going to come along, and he's a local business coach and leader, and he's like a guru of how to just be a good person, I think.
Yeah.
And so all the business executives
use the word guru in the Catholic world?
I think we can. You know.
It's okay.
And so Tom's going to really talk about practical principles. What is this? Just practically speaking, what's his experience to the practitioner? And I tried giving him this. Hey, Tom, how about we talk about this or this? And he's like, you know what? How about we just talk about the lessons I learned when I was in working in prisons?
So his talk title, when Joe got it, he goes, okay, I want to go see it just for the talk title, which is what I really needed to know to lead in business I learned in prison.
Whoa.
If that doesn't tell you, like, stay tuned and show up and find out what this is all about.
So Catholic Radio up in North Dakota had me on, and they were like, so was Tom actually in prison?
Show up and find out.
It's like, I don't know. You'll have to
come. Out.
So Tom's going to give some great lessons, and really just, he's an inspiration. So I think, and then Father Mason is coming back, and so he's going to speak about the soul of business. I like to use the word soulcraft. That spirituality in the interior work that we do is like a craft. And so Father Mason will speak to kind of soul craft of the business person. What is it that we need to be attentive to do business well so that it doesn't corrupt us and so that we're able to overcome those obstacles that everybody's going to face? It's not like somehow we're all saints and we don't have obstacles, but how is our interior life helping us to sustain and overcome?
I do want to make mention of the fact that this is sponsored by your organization, the Catholic Men's right. Business Fraternity. But you really do open it up to anyone in business that has an interest in this topic, right?
And that's why it's called the Faith and Business Conference. As Joe mentioned at the beginning of the segment, we want anybody, men, women, Catholic, Christian, because these principles stretch across all lines, all nationalities, all businesses. And so this really is for everyone.
Yeah.
And right. So if you want to be a partner, again, faithandbusinessconference.com. You can also get your tickets there, find out more information. And for a half-day conference, $50 is all it is.
Okay.
We want this to be accessible to everybody out there. And so $50 for a ticket, go online, get that, and yeah, come enjoy a great half-day where you're going to I always like it because you always see people just furiously writing notes.
Yeah.
You're like, right. That's what you see at the conference because they're hearing things, seeing things, experiencing things that they didn't know existed in business.
Yeah. Or that resonate
right.
in
exactly.
some way, right? They're hearing something and they go, oh, that's what
that's
it is
right,
I've been trying
right.
to get out of my head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. I like to just think that, you know, there's a couple of ways, not that one's bad or better, but sometimes when we think about faith and business, we think of Bible studies and prayer before meetings and this type of thing. And there's places that do that and yep. can do that. And that's yep. wonderful. When we speak of this, we particularly think about the manner in which we do business in a principled way that's seeks what's right and does what's right. And so in this sense, it's like how the Pope can go speak at the United Nations.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen the Pope speak at the United Nations, he doesn't speak of Jesus Christ by name specifically, right? Because not everybody in the world's a Christian, but he does speak to a common humanity, a common truth, a common good that we all share mm-hmm. in relationship to who we are as human beings. In a sense, that's what the Faith and Business Conference is. It's open to anybody because the message is universal, and it's really just simply about seeking to do the right thing.
And as we have a couple minutes left this morning, I just wanted to give you the chance to say this again. because I know I've heard you say this in previous years, both of you, I think, actually say this in previous years. The wonderful thing about all this work is that it actually is good for business. It is good for a company's bottom line to go about things in this way.
It's really interesting when you talk to any of the guys that belong to the group or show up to the things and they start implementing some of these things. Wow, my employees are happier. My bottom line is better. We're treating people with dignity. We're fulfilling the common good. We're learning about subsidiarity, letting things happen at the level they need to happen at. They're not getting micromanaged. And all of a sudden they're like, wow, all these concepts are things that are amazing and are changing our business. And that's the fun part for us, is watching people actually take this back to the office.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that's an unusual thing for you to say.
Jerry.
No. Yeah. This is great. I love hearing about this. I love hearing about the successes of the conference in the past. And just really, again, want to encourage anyone from anywhere in the listening audience.
Right. We've had people fly in from Fargo. We've had people drive up from Kansas.
Yeah.
It really is growing into a regional gathering.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should mention that's only one of the things that your organization does. If you want to know more about the organization as a whole,
cmbfsf.org.
Okay. But for this particular effort, faithandbusinessconference.com, and you can get yourself signed up. I hope you do. August 8th at the Ramkota, 11 to 4 p.m. Guys, thanks so much for sharing about it this morning.
Thanks, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Well, Renee, we actually have a little bit of time left this morning, and it's a great chance to introduce you a little more than we have had a chance to do in the past. Welcome to the communications office for the diocese, and particularly to the Bishop's Bulletin as the new managing editor.
Thank you.
It's great to have, as wonderful as Gene's long tenure was, it's great to have kind of a fresh set of eyes. I'm enjoying the first weeks of your experience, seeing things a little bit differently because yep. You're seeing things a little bit differently.
Yeah, I am too. I think there are some good things we can do, and there's always room for change and improvement, I think. So
yeah.
We'll look at some of those things.
And I know you've been working on this kind of your first edition of the bulletin, getting it all ready to go for the July issue. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
We'll see how next week goes.
When we get to proof day, that's
yes.
The real, that's kind of the crunch time around here when we get to proof day. So, well, appreciate you being with us, and thanks for helping us out with Catholic Views each week, too.
Yes.
That's our time for the show this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.